This is a recording of the open meeting of the Federal Election Commission held on June 7th, 2012. Should you have questions after listening to the recording, please call the FEC at 1-800-424-9530 or email us at info@fec.gov.
Next matter on the agenda is Audit Division Recommendation Memorandum on the Democratic Executive Committee of Florida, A08-03. Audit Division have a presentation on this audit?
Just a quick introduction.
Okay, thank you.
Thank you, Madam Chair. Good afternoon, Commissioners. Before you today is the Audit Division Recommendation Memorandum for the Democratic Executive Committee of Florida, which recommends you approve the five findings as presented in the draft final audit report. The five findings presented are excessive coordinated party expenditures, failure to itemize coordinated party expenditures, allocation of expenditures, misstatement of financial activity 11 fund, and disclosure of disbursements. The audit staff is prepared to address any questions or concerns you might have regarding this memorandum or audit report.
Thank you.
Just to, for clarification, in the ADRM that was circulated around, I think there was a slight correction that needs to be made as far as the misstatement for 11 funds was for the 2007 and 2008 election cycle. I think the ADRM stated a different election cycle. So that would be corrected in the PFAR if approved.
Thank you. Commissioner McGann.
The first finding is excessive coordinated, as I understand it. And the maybe to speed it up, maybe you could help me. The committee that's been audited, they argued that they really weren't excessive, or what was it? What's the argument offered by the committee? Do you recall?
They believe they were assigned the total limit from the NCCC.
But they didn't have the letter.
They had some of the limit for a letter, $17,000, I believe, $900.
But they didn't have a letter for what they spent.
Correct.
Right. And the reg says you have to keep the letter.
Correct.
Has this ever come up before? Because sometimes in audits, you know, people do affidavits and that's close enough. And I don't know of any case where it's come up before. I've always thought if you don't have the letter, game over.
Right. That's the way we've pursued it in the past, yeah. If the letter's not there, then...
Mr. Bonowitz is nodding. Yes, he's been here a long time. He would remember. Yeah, letter, no letter, that's it, right?
Okay. Right.
They do make the suggestion, I don't know if this is in here, but they do ask that the audit make clear that the candidate actually didn't receive the coordinated. You know, I mean, they can make a coordinated, but they do have this request in here somewhere. Does that have any merit, do you think?
As far as the committee's contention that there was still room underneath the limit if you combine the limit together?
I'm looking at their March 28th, 2012 letter where it says the final audit report should note that the aggregate coordinating expenditure limit was not exceeded for Ned Tadeo. Do they mean that actually they didn't, because of the letter, or are they actually saying just keep the candidate out of it because it wasn't the candidate's fault? I kind of read it initially as they're saying it's not the candidate's fault, but maybe that's not what they're saying. Maybe that's tied to the same issue we just covered. Okay. The get out the vote issue.
Commissioner, would you yield for a second?
Sure.
On that point,
yeah.
I think what I understood them to be asking for in the letter is basically if we're going to ding them for not having the right paperwork, which they didn't, and therefore I think they're stuck with the finding, that we at least somewhere acknowledge that the aggregate coordinated expenditure limit wasn't exceeded. The candidate didn't get more than 82.4. In fact, the candidate got less than that, but they didn't have the designation of the letter that would give them the entire authority. So I think they still sort of while they would have preferred to have us say, okay, we'll accept your word for it, I think they understood that they were probably stuck because they didn't have the paperwork, and they were going to get dinged for the letter, and I think their fallback position was, could you at least say in the report somewhere that the total wasn't actually exceeded?
That's what I meant.
And if that is, if I am understanding that correctly, I have no objection to our audit report indicating that in some fashion. It doesn't really help them with respect to the finding. They're stuck with the finding because there is this paperwork requirement and they didn't meet it. They don't have the paper. So they're just kind of out of luck on that. But, you know, I think it's a fair point that they're trying to give that some context.
I'm fine with that, too. Yeah. Thanks for bringing it. I knew it was in here somewhere. I was having trouble articulating what they were. Because like my shorthand was they don't want the candidate to wear it, take it on the chin, so to speak. But your description was much more eloquent than what I just characterized it as. There's an issue on the get out the vote. They paid fees for translators, and the committee's saying it's not get out the vote. The reasoning being, I guess, you know, they've already done the get out the vote, and then whatever is actually get out the vote, they've used hard money. But here, once you have a translator, that's not really getting out the vote. I'm inclined to agree with the committee on that, but to the extent anyone has different thoughts, I'm happy to talk it through.
Madam Vice Chair.
Thank you, Madam Chair. I tend to agree on that also. The translators were at the polling places, so by definition, the vote had already been gotten out by the time the translators were called upon to provide any assistance. I think when party committees do get out the vote, what they're trying to do is get the folks that are sympathetic to them to the polls, the folks they think will vote for them. What they said they were doing with these translators is offering on a bipartisan, nonpartisan, you know, anybody who asked for help with translating, those translators were just there. And that, yes, I could certainly see the why the auditors came and the lawyers came to the conclusion that they did on the regulation, but it's just not what anybody understands as get out the vote. So I agree on the translators.
If the translators were also advocating go vote for this candidate of choice, and that's these actually were passive. Is that consistent with what the auditors found, is that the translators were helping everybody and just translating? There's no indication they were getting out the vote.
We didn't see anything that said that.
Okay. Then they're not getting out the vote. Next issue is rent payment allocation. Auditors want to second guess, and the committee wants to say, no, they did it correctly. I'm inclined to agree with the committee, so again, that's where I am. Not a lot of money, but it's important to the committee, so I just...
Madam Vice Chair.
Thank you, Madam Chair. I hate to break our role of agreement there, but I think I'm very sympathetic to the committee on their argument, but I think on this one, under the regulations, they're just kind of stuck. I mean, rent is a standard administrative expense, and we have rules on how you allocate administrative expenses, and this wasn't, and in fact, as I understand, it couldn't be under Florida law an actual separate entity that had to be run as part of the party committee, even though it was doing, you know, they may have viewed it as a separate functional unit, but it was not in any way legally separate, as I understand it. And I'll ask the auditors or the lawyers to correct me if I'm wrong about that. But I think while it's a sympathetic argument, I think they're just out of luck on that, as far as I'm concerned, under the regulations.
Mr. Peterson.
Thank you, Madam Chair. Actually, if I could follow up on this issue, ask counsel and ask the auditors. I mean, it seems like this is kind of a, from a legal perspective, they're not all under the party. It's as it's described in the report. It says that under state law, the state party is required to serve as the fiscal agent for both the House and Senate Democratic Caucus committees. But yet they have a lot of their own autonomy as well under law. So they kind of are part of the party structure, and they kind of aren't, right? I don't know if you could speak to that a little bit more about the exact legal status, but the way I was reading it is it sounds like it wasn't just as simple as saying that they are clearly part of the party structure, that they do have some elements that seem to be – they certainly are joined at the hip for purposes of the fiscal agency relationship, but in other ways they seem to operate fairly independently as well.
Yeah, I think that is – it is true as a practical matter, but I think under the Florida statute in effect, in 2008, even though the caucus committees had a great deal of autonomy, under the pertinent statute, the caucuses were nonetheless part of the structure of the state party. It wasn't until 2011 that they were given a clearly defined, distinct legal entity status as an affiliated committee.
Commissioner McGinn?
I'm not sure Florida law, though, changes what they're actually doing. I think that's the point the committee is making, is that they're still a caucus committee, although they have to use the party structure fiscal agent, yes. And, you know, the flip side is they have the autonomous unit of the party. That's their way of saying they're sort of the party, but not really. But there's still a caucus committee, and the point that they make, I find kind of persuasive, is that we're not saying what they're doing is FEA, but that it's just regular allocable activity. But that reg, 106.7, according to the committee, doesn't require the allocation of ordinary expenses incurred by a caucus committee. So if you look at it through the Florida law lens, you say it's all one thing. If you look at it from the actual conduct as to what they're doing, which I think is what drives how you pay for things in the federal law, they're a caucus committee. Because we're really talking about what the ratio is they use. Is it all hard? It may be FEA. Is it party split? Is it some other split because they're doing only state races? I don't know. It seems to me that I'm hesitant to mess with distinctions that people draw for themselves within their how they organize themselves to elect people. And if they're say they're a caucus committee and they act like a caucus committee, I'm not sure that Florida law causes us to impose the overhead ratio of the party committee in and of itself, because their underlying conduct was not. But for Florida law, I think it's a much easier case, and maybe others would agree with that. So I don't know. I'm still on the fence, and I'm really hesitant to say these guys aren't really a caucus committee.
Commissioner Walter.
Again, Madam Chair, going back to the I guess we have probably an understanding on that, but I was curious to know the staff's thinking on the interpreter issue, and where you found it in the slot of get out to vote when they were already there. I mean, I guess that was the question I had.
Right. I think the report concludes right now that we would recommend that it would be considered GOTV. If it's not GOTV, then I would think the administrative ratio would apply to the allocation of the expense. Which would be 28% federal, 72% non-federal.
Commissioner Bowerly.
Thank you, Madam Chair. On that same issue, I want to make sure I understand the record. The invoice identified these translators as GOTV.
That's correct.
Was there any related reporting of that expense? Or did was
on the FPC
all,
reports, was it classified in any way?
It's actually paid out of a non-federal account.
All paid for that.
And Florida combines their reporting, so we couldn't specifically identify.
Right.
They also put federal expenditures on there.
Okay. You know, an invoice isn't always the ultimate answer, but I think it made sense that you, since the invoice said GOTV, it's probably a logical place to start. At the end of the day, sort of knowing more about, from the responses about what this actually, what the actual activity was, to the extent it was providing assistance to voters who were already at the polls, translation services as opposed to getting them there, I think from my experience with sort of voter protection efforts and translation services, to me this doesn't fall in that category. So I'll support removing that part of the finding. I think it's certainly, I appreciate where you all started, given you had an invoice that said GOTV on it, but I think I would support moving it to the it would then fall to the
administrative
split.
Ratio. Yeah.
We've raised a couple of other issues on the rent issue. Commissioner Weintraub, I think the way I view Florida law, this is part of what the party is doing, and it just we can't just exclude these other parts of that state party.
Commissioner McGann?
Thanks. Why don't I move that we approve agenda document number 12-41, Audit Division Recommendation Memorandum on the Democratic Executive Committee of Florida, subject to the following amendments. First, consistent with the discussion at the table, acknowledge that the party committee did not spend money that would have otherwise been in excess of the coordinated limits on behalf of the candidate. Two, regarding finding three, allocation of expenditures, $17,240 for consulting fee for translators is not get out the vote. According to the committee's response, the translators merely provided their services to voters already at the polls. And finally, the committee's payments for its rent were not improperly allocated given state laws to the operation of the Legislative Caucus Committee and their autonomy and purposes. Actually, notwithstanding state laws to the operation of the Legislative Caucus Committees and their autonomy and purposes. So we may not work, but then fall back, you know, for the hopefully the easier vote.
All those in favor signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Aye. Opposed?
No.
No.
That motion fails 3-3. Is there another motion?
Okay. If I could, how about if this is in order to say the same motion, striking part three, which was the rent issue?
Madam Secretary, is that sufficient?
Okay. Yes, it is. Thank you.
If that works for you and
that
everyone
works.
Else.
I think it's great. All those in favor signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Aye. Aye. Opposed? That motion passes 6-0.
Just to clarify, that doesn't mean we gave up on the rent issue. That would move into other issues.
Rent issue,
right?
My motion wasn't intended to all of a sudden vote the opposite of the previous motion.
Right.
Okay.
Is that clear to everybody?
So the rent issue goes to additional issues.
Thank you very much.